Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Nomadicast. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled The Resurrection Constant. I'm sure many of you have heard of the term mathematical constant, and the scriptures speak of the resurrection constant. Anastasis nekron, the standing up of the body. And this very important and pivotal term is used by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 3, which is another summary of Paul's first-person encounter with the living and resurrected Jesus. In verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," Peter, "then of the 12 and of course you know that the Judas Iscariot, or Judas of Iscariot, was not one of the 12. Another one had been chosen in the book of Acts to take the place of this individual. Verse 6, "After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once." Now please note, this is first person. These individuals were first-person eyewitnesses, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And that's Paul's way of speaking about the departed ones in Christ who were said to sleep in Jesus. "After that, he was seen of James." Notice the careful repetition of the phrase, "he was seen" in verse 5, "he was seen" in verse 6, "he was seen" now in verse 7 of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all, "he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due season," which is a very interesting way of speaking of his relationship with Christ, of his encounter with Christ, as one born out of due time. And here, this phrase, of course, means an abortion or miscarriage or an untimely birth. Paul speaks of his encounter with Christ. there is great humility, and there is great thankfulness in his heart about who Christ is. Paul is thankful that Christ is his, and he knows what it means to walk in newness of life, to walk about in newness, that is, in qualitatively newness of life. Paul knows that his life is now beyond bios, B-I-O-S, in Greek, in the Greek New Testament. He knows that his life has been substantively transformed because of the resurrected Christ. Now, in verse 4, one reads that he was buried, speaking of Jesus. Well, first of all, in verse 3, one reads how that Christ died, and that is given to us. That term died is given to us in the aorist tense, which means at a point in time, and indicative means, of course, the statement of fact. In verse 4, we have another aorist indicative. At a point in time, Jesus was buried. Now we know that he died. We know that when the experienced centurion, who was adept at his work, went over to the Christ, this individual had the crucifragium, which was used to break the large bones of the leg, that is, legs and the thighs, in order to hasten death. The crucifragium would send the crucified individual to shock. Crucifragium was not used on Christ, but rather a spear was driven into his heart, and the pericardium was pierced, because if you read, that blood and water came out. Now, there is no swoon theory that Christ revived after being laid to rest in the coma of the tombs. So much is myth. So much is looked over or deliberately ignored because one faithful disciple went and begged the body of Jesus from Pilate. And the body was taken down, washed, cleansed, and wrapped accordingly. Faithful disciple would not wrap living Christ in linen and put spices around they put him in the tomb. So much is meant. We read in verse 3 that he died, verse 4 that he was buried, and notice Paul says in verse 3, according to the scriptures. In verse 4, Paul states, according to the scriptures. The prominence of the scriptures is imperative. The graphos, the writings, are pivotal. And notice in verse 4, Paul has in that he was very aorist indicative, and then in Lystra means to awaken, or to wake up one who has fallen asleep. This is given to us in the perfect indicative. At a point in time, this individual or this, when the resurrection took place at a point in time, ever to remain so. Perfect tense, perfect indicative, is a statement of fact. And that he rose again the third day according to the graphos. Now, First John will tackle some of the viewpoints extant during that time, which believe that when Jesus died and the Christ Spirit left him, various forms of Gnosticism that were extant during that time. And this is Paul's powerful polemic against the Indian Gnosticism. Christ, who met Paul and changed his life in Acts chapter 9, was a resurrected Christ, the one who stood up again the third day, ever to remain so. This is the pivotal event in church history. This is the pivotal event in church history. That he is alive. He is alive. We emphatically state that Jesus is alive. Now, the angels or supernatural beings that were sitting in the tomb said to those who went to investigate what had taken place, that why seek ye the living one among the dead? We read that he was raised out from among the dead to become head of the ecclesia, which is translated as church. Ecclesia. This letter to the Ephesians is about the ecclesia, the body of Christ. Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, or the letter to Colossians, is about the kephale. Jesus, the kephale, the head of the church, or the head, the kephale of the ecclesia. Now, this event of the resurrection did not receive sanction from the political powers. Indeed, God was not following the mandate of the political powers, which God the Father had allowed to crucify, that is, to murder or to execute by torture his son. Because crucifixion was torture. And God was not following the mandate of the political powers to keep this momentous event quiet. Paul would say these things were not done in a corner. These things were not done in a corner. It was done so that individuals could see and bear witness to God's marvelous work. Peter writes, or wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 16, Peter states, "For we," that is speaking of the community of the Ecclesia, "for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." This is important language. This is important and compelling forensic language, because God the Father knew. God the Father had seen before that individuals would come along who would attempt to cast suspicion and doubt upon the documents that we have received, and that bear witness to his work in Christ Jesus. Verse 17. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We heard. Now notice in verse 16, Peter states that we were eyewitnesses, first person. We were eyewitnesses, first person, plural. Well, because of the shock of what had happened to Jesus, the apostolic college were under a collective, or the collective illusion that they had seen him. So this was all due to shock, some have said. Verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount," that is the Mount of Transfiguration, "when the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ shown through the veil of his flesh." The transfiguration. The word there, transfiguration, literally means to show outwardly what one is inwardly. To show outwardly what one is inwardly. Verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place or a murky place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." Very, very important verse. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, appointed by God, chosen by God, marked out by God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, no prophecy of Scripture. Paul emphasizes the importance of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 when he speaks of the resurrection. Paul speaks of the importance of eyewitnesses. In 1 John chapter 1, John writes, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, or out from the beginning, apo, we which we have heard, perfect indicative, which we have seen, again, perfect indicative. What can this language mean? Which we have seen with our eyes, to the result that what our retina, what our optic nerve receives, remains that way, which we have heard, which has remained, which we have heard, which has remained within that part of the brain, perfect indicative. What happened at a point in time remains today as powerful as when we heard it. It remains. It stays. Here is a constant. What we have heard. We have the resurrection constant, and we have the empirical evidence of the resurrection constant that remains so. Which we have heard, perfect indicative, which we have seen with our eyes, perfect indicative, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, that is, now we were able to palpate, we were able to handle with a view to investigating. So we have empirical evidence. Our hands have handled of the word of life. See, the veil of material reality and supernatural reality are now one. There is a part in the book of Ezekiel in which the eternal merges with the temporal. What we have here is a new reality because of the resurrection. And don't you know that the enemy wants to attack the scriptural evidence? He wants to attack the resurrection. He wants to attack the fact that Paul's life was changed. He wants to attack the fact that Peter's life was changed. He wants to attack the fact that remains so that John's life was changed. He wants to attack the fact that Miriam, or Mary, who saw her son crucified, who did not leave the cross, This one to whom she had given birth, and the angel had told her that a sword would pierce through her heart, the Ramphia, the giant, a sword used in combat, the Ramphia, would pierce to her heart. Her broken heart would be healed by the risen Christ himself. Peter, who had ran away because he saw himself and all his vaunted arrogance, and then when the cock crew, he ran away. And then the risen Christ went and got him back because he indeed belonged to Jesus. And John, who stood at the cross and saw his Savior, the one who lay upon his breast during the supper in the upper room. Those broken hearts, those broken individuals, those shattered individuals were made new by the living and resurrected Christ. The book of Acts is a book that deals with the resurrection life constant and what God accomplished through the lives of these individuals. Thomas, we believe, took the gospel as far as India. Paul would take the gospel into Europe. They would lay their lives on the line because of whom they had seen. And what he had done in their hearts. He had arrested selfishness. "I am crucified with Christ" was not a mere intellectual mantra. It was a living existential reality that God had done something new. God is doing something new through Christ. Is the good news that the ecclesia is charged to carry out and take out into the world. And look around you at this world with its manipulated and tattered awareness, with the politics of manipulation, hate, division, racism, and murder. Look at this world and the way people act with one another. Wholesale murder, assassination, lies, contempt, misery, unhappiness. This world needs the gospel. This world needs individuals who can say, as the old one said, "A charge keep I have, a God to glorify." That is Christ Jesus the Lord. As one brother who I love stated, in the first century, the gospel went out throughout the world in shoe leather. We have the marvelous technology at our hands today to share the gospel in many ways. What are you going to do with your knowledge, your understanding of the resurrection? Will it be passive, or will you live the resurrection out in active voice? My name is Dr. Cybridge. Have a wonderful day.